week we began to talk about, we did the Bible study talking about, we can do nothing without Him. And we started in verses of John chapter 15, and I believe they went 1 through 27. I believe that we stopped at verse, does anybody remember? About verse 19. Yeah. So let's go to verse 18. John chapter 15, verse number 18. And the Bible says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And if you recall last week, we talked about, it always amazes me when people begin, who are giving their life to God, serious about giving their life to God, they're always blown away when people dislike them, or don't like them, or is coming up against them. Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he lets them know, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the question that we could ask is, why should you feel that if Jesus was hated, you shouldn't be? The reality is, what we fail to miss a lot in this walk of Christendom is that it's not all peaches and cream. And everybody has it in their head that it's all peaches and cream because of how the pulpit has been guilty, and some of the, evangelists have been guilty of, when they evangelize, making Christianity seem like there will be no problems whatsoever. And let me just go ahead and say this to you now. And the Holy Spirit just downloaded this into me. Jesus needs no selling points. Jesus needs no selling points. He don't need you to lie for him to make him seem a little better. When people ask you the tough questions about being saved, you have to answer the tough questions with tough answers. And you can't be concerned with making it better for them. You know, you try to sell somebody on something, and then they see something that could be somewhat problematic, and then you try to make it like it ain't that bad, but the good thing is, now, you know, no. You need to understand. Folk need to understand off the dribble. Don't come in this thinking that this is going to be peaches and cream. This is not going to be easy. You're going to see some things happen when you begin to evolve, or transform rather, when you begin to transform to the Word of God, when your worship begins to take you from where you are to where He is, you're going to see some change in some of the people that did not make that change with you. And you can't be thrown off by that. You can't be detoured. You can't let people stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, simply because they have issues. He said, don't get this thing twisted. They hated me first. They hated me first. And could you imagine, I mean, you're talking about his countrymen, his brethren, I mean, they hated him first. So don't get all out of shape when people begin to treat you differently. The reality is, you should have the words so much in you that when You never noticed, did you ever notice that in the Bible, when any of them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, any of them were being slick with Jesus, was trying Jesus, Jesus never broke weak. He didn't care. None of that bothered him. And the reality is, the only reason why the world hating you bothers you so much can only be because you're still trying to somewhat be a part of the world. You still want some type of acceptance in the world. But you can't have both. You can't have both. In fact, he says, those that love the world hate me. You see? And the only time people in the world having a problem with you bothers you is when you ain't really done with the world. It still matters to you how the world sees you, what the world thinks about you. You know, this was a crutch that I held for myself. I held this crutch for a long time. And here's how you know. When you stop caring about what the world thinks about you, all of a sudden they deem you offensive. Yeah. And so I stay on a constant basis telling people, I really don't care. I don't care. And people, so then when you say that you don't care, I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm not even gonna bring that up. You know, people look at you and go, how are you supposed to be saved? No, it's not that you're not saved, it's that you're done letting them play games with your salvation. And you gotta be careful of what I call professional manipulators. You know, they're the people that when you begin to take your stance in Christendom seriously, then all of a sudden they begin to say things like, and you're supposed to be saved. And I'm pretty sure Jesus wouldn't do that. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't go to Jesus like that. You can't care. So don't get caught up when the world doesn't love you. It was never meant to love you. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, if you were of the world, the world would love its own. Why? Because you'd be of its madness. You'd be of its foolishness. Nobody wants to. There's been godlike / versus warlike moments with even me and Jeff. Yeah, even me and Jeff. I'll be trying to pull something off, and he'll be standing in integrity, and we're having a godlike versus warlike moment. I'm trying to, did you hear what I said? Anytime that you hear somebody say, we're trying to pull it off, it's warlike. We don't have to try to pull anything off as long as we are of the word. Pull the word off is all we need to be trying to do. That's the only thing we should be pulling off. Why? Because if we keep the word, people are going to leave us. That is what it is. Some people are going to dislike you. That is what it is. But if you keep the word, there's going to be one or two to stand around and go, so you didn't change. You didn't switch. You kept it real. You were about the life. You weren't just talking the life. But Jeff and I have had God-like versus world-like moments. I'm trying to pull something off, and he's trying to stay in integrity and righteousness. You see what I'm saying? And the moment that I realize that he is, you know, because he's, and this is deep, and I'm teaching this from a personal point so that you can earn something. The moment that you realize or the moment that I realize, see, because when you want something and you want it bad enough, you're willing to, sometimes if your spirit isn't in where it's as strong as it needs to be, you will be willing to try some things that may not be Christian-like. You know, it might not get you a felony, but yet and still, you know better. And so anytime that I see that me and him are, this is the war, I automatically back out of the war. I say something like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And I ain't happy about it, but I'm wrong. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is how we need to live our lives. When we get to the point where we see that we're wrong, when that moment happens that you're going, this is not the gospel. This is not what WWJD, what would Jesus do? This is not what Jesus would do. Immediately, it is our responsibility to back out of whatever it is that we're in, and then find time quickly to repent. Find time quickly. And guess what you got to do right then? Somebody say it. No. You got to commit murder. You got to commit murder. Who you got to kill? You got to kill that old man. You got to kill your dark passenger. You see? Any time that you, and this is why, let me tell you something. This is why you can't get up, you can't get caught up with stuff. Stuff, being caught up with things, easily being moved by something, it'll have you, one, broke. Two, but after it breaks you, watch this, there's going to be some more stuff that comes along that's going to have you so caught up that you got to have it. You didn't learn your lesson the first time. And so now you don't got it because you tricked off the first money on the stuff that you should have never had. But now you're trying to make a way to get that stuff. And all of a sudden, guess what gets compromised? God. The word, the way. And so here's something. Okay, I hear you, God. Here's something that blows my mind. We serve the greatest entity ever to exist. We serve God. Now, after that, shouldn't nothing else blow your mind? After, you understand what I'm saying to you? After you understand the cross and what the cross and that the cross was meant for you and what all Jesus endured, nothing else should blow your mind. Nothing else should blow your mind. But why? Because nothing else on this planet is amazing as God. So if I look at something, I go, man, I gotta have that. You know, man, that's, you know, but then I gotta remember who I am. So how amazing is it? Is it amazing? So if it's not as amazing as God and it never will be, then I can put it off for a few weeks. I don't have to pull anything off. I don't have to compromise God. I don't have to have that moment of repentance because I find myself out of alignment because something has blown my mind. Let me tell you something. The cross should have blown your mind to the point to where nothing else can. You know, people come to you, look at this, I got this for you. That's nice. Oh, my God, thank you, baby. You know, yada, yada, yada. But that's probably the extent because my mind has already been blown. My mind has already been blown. You know why we don't operate on that premises all the time? Because we ain't in the Word all the time. But if you're in the Word all the time, nothing really can, you know. And so I'm not saying it's wrong to be excited and somebody give you a nice gift or something like that. I'm not saying it's wrong for that. What I'm saying is that usually when saved people get to the point where they're willing to do whatever, to have whatever, there's been an infiltration. Something has got in that shouldn't be there. Because nothing should be more powerful than God to the point to where it can make you compromise Him. Verse number 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. So stop crying while you're going through it. Stop crying while you're going through it. Just go through it. Jesus went through far more. Jesus went through so much more. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So what you crying for? Because such and such don't return your calls. Because they ain't inviting you out to lunch with drinks and all of that. What you crying for? You ain't, man, understand what we in right here. He ain't resistant to bloodshed. You ain't, anybody smacked you because you a believer. Ain't nobody snatched you up because you a believer. And the things that we cry about because I'm saved, I can't do this. And because I'm saved, they won't hang out with me. And because, man, I'm going over with them if that's who you love. This is war, man. This is war. We have people running down our parking lots, taking the life of other people on the church parking lot. And the 98% of the members of our ministry are more concerned with somebody loving them other than Jesus. We are so lost. Someone loving them other than Jesus. If you don't think that someone coming and taking the life of someone else on the church parking lot is not a wage of war, then I don't know what it is. That kid should have jumped at them when he got out and got to walking, and something should have happened to him on these grounds. So you know that's what them prayer, that's what prayer in the church does to people. You know, something should have, oh no, not right here, not here. So oh, I'm not even gonna say the next statement because it begins to get deep. You know, don't let me say it. So it makes us wonder who's dwelling here. That you can just jump on a property such that it's supposed to be deemed the property of God, and you can just do the most demonic thing possible. What's really dwelling here? You see. So understand how serious this is. So get over people hating you. Jesus said, "Hey, ain't no servant greater than they master." What, you thought you wasn't supposed to go through it? You thought I went through all I went through, and you was just going to get to me, and you wasn't going to go through nothing? You're going to go through some things with this walk. And the sooner that you understand that, and you accept it, and you be about that, the better off you'll be. Number 21 says, he says in 20, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Get over people not liking you. Amen? Amen? But all these things I say But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So this is deep right here. And when I was reading this, the Holy Spirit said, now you're going to have to deal with that, because everybody seems to think that they're having a hard time because they're in God. Well, some of the hard time that you're dealing with has nothing to do with you're in God. It's that you're supposed to be in God, but you're not. See, so what I mean by that is, a lot of what we're going through is what we've put ourselves in. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Let me say that again. A lot of what we're going through is what we put ourselves in, but because we come to church, we deem it, you know, oh, see, this is the devil don't like when I go to church. The devil's not studying you. The devil's not studying you. The devil's not studying people who can't fast. The devil's not studying people who can't pray 5 days in a row. The devil's not studying people who don't get in their word on a daily basis. The devil's not studying you. Don't believe that hype. You are hyping yourself up. You are putting yourself in a place that you do not belong. Listen. You understand what I'm saying to you? The enemy comes only where there are spoils. So he says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. This is where we want to be. The hell that you go through in life, you want it to be for his name's sake, not because you made a bad decision. See, and in life, there's two namesakes. Lord have mercy. His and yours. I just made that up, but it seems pretty good going. Just think about it. Life, his namesake, and then your namesake. And oftentimes, we make decisions regarding whose namesake. And then we try to make it like what we're going through is on the strength of his namesake. It ain't got nothing to do with his namesake. It's got everything to do with the bad decision, the unchristlike decision that you made that got you in the situation that you're in. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let's start putting these things where they go so that we, and here's another thing. So you gotta start applying this stuff, like, because see, here's the reality. People are doing this every day. People are making this mistake every day. They're saying, the devil's in, you know, the devil, I've been going to church, the devil's mad. The devil, no, because everybody's been going to church. Well, if that's the case, then the devil, you know, the whole world just blew up, right? Devil. And get out of yourself when you say statements like that. You know how arrogant you sound when you say, I've been going to church for the last couple of Sundays, you know the devil mad. Well, the devil really has a big fight on his hands. And you think that he has stopped the big fight on his hands because you went to church two times in a row. Look, you wasn't even on time. Why would the enemy be caring about you because you're going to church? What are you going to change? What are you going to change? What is you going to church going to change? The devil, yeah, girl, he must be mad at me because I've been in church, you know, 2 weeks in a row. What? Why would he be concerned with you? We need to learn the difference between test and consequence. So, number 22 says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Isn't this powerful? Immediately, this is powerful right here, because he says there's no more excuse. I've been saying this for a long time, but he said it first. And I've been saying it in this church for a long time. There's no excuse when you know. There's no excuse when you know. There is absolutely no excuse when you know. But you know why? When I read that, people didn't break out for the altar and go, let me repent. I ain't even got time here, Pastor. That verse right there was off the hook. I need to repent right now. You know why? Because for the most part, this stuff be empty words to people. This stuff be empty words. You know, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Everybody should, I don't care who you are, everybody should have read. I probably should have read it and just drunk. But you know what? Everybody thinks they're okay. It's one of two things. You think you're okay or you don't care. And once, in the moment that you get to the point where you're like, I don't need to do this, I don't have to do this, you probably need to be one of the first ones to hit the altar. Because daily this word proves us daily we feed the base parts of our lifestyles, you know, cause a little leaven, leaven and put a lump. So you don't get to say, now I got my issues, but it ain't, no, then your issues is a little leaven. And it can leaven the whole lump. How many times have you dealt with a little issue? You had a little issue, but that little issue, unkept, unchecked, undealt with, caused a whole lot of drama in the end. I've had a lot of little issues, caused a lot of mess in the end. So, he goes on to say, he who hates me hates my father also. I've been studying this for the last month. And this is kind of deep to me, because he says, he who hates me hates my father also. So, I've been thinking about this whole thing about love and hate, right? And Jesus is such a literal person. I mean, you know, not to the point where he wants you to cut your hand off if it causes you sin. But think about this love-hate thing. Every time that we are out of alignment with the Word of God, that is not love. Did you know that when you stay in alignment with God, that is saying, I love you, God. But when you come out of alignment with the Word, and you realize that you're out of alignment with the Word, and people are telling you that you're, hey man, that ain't, you know, then you have to question that love for him that you're supposed to have for him. Because I can't daily do something to hurt her and expect her to believe that I love her. You see what I'm saying? You can't daily do something to people that you love and that hurts them and then expect them to believe that you love them. So he says, he who hates me hates my father also. So I think it's deeper than just people that say bad things about him or people that, you know, they got some issue in what. I think it's deeper than that. I think that, you know, he's really talking deep to the believer, the so-called believer, that if you really love me, remember who said that? You keep my commandments. If you really love, you see what I'm saying to you? So I think it gets deeper, and the deeper that it gets, the deeper should our walk, the deeper our look at it, the deeper should we internalize this and go, hey, hold on, you know, I say I love God, I really do, I say I love God, but how many times a day do I show evidence that I don't love God? And so a couple of thinking right now, why does he keep staying on this stuff? Because I keep seeing this stuff. And the church will not move. Listen, anybody can put a building together, pack it out, music's dope, singers are dope, you know, children's church is dope, everything is awesome, you know, nursery, everything. I mean, you got all your protocols and everything, all of that. And that church could be packed out every Sunday and nobody go to heaven because you know how to do business. But I believe that I believe that he has always wanted and really calling for now a church that is saying, I really want this thing to be about me. I want it to be about me. So if you got to go out and you got to get the musicians, if you got to go out and you got to get the children, you got to get somebody for you, as long as this is about me, so that they can draw people, so that I'm lifted up and folk are drawn to me. And so you know, I'm in a season of my life where all my decisions aren't so easy because I'm like, okay, well, I really want this. And we got to be careful. Like, why do you really want this? Are we breaking our neck to get this whole music thing together so that we can say now? Because it's sad to say this, but people need they need a performance before, you understand what I'm saying to you, before the Word. They need something. They need, just don't make me come and listen to the Bible. Just, you know, give me a little something to jump to. Give me a little something to dance to. Give me a little something to be, you see what I'm saying? You know, so what you need, what do we need it for? Are we getting it to draw people in so that the Word can be heard? Or are we doing it because, you know, we've been places where we have been with pastors and they are straight up just bragging crazy on their praise team. I put my praise team up against anybody in the city. I'm talking about, and they ain't talked about the Word that they preach. I've been around people. I sadly enough, you know, sometimes I have lunch with people that you know, yeah, we pay our children's church people this much money so that you can say that you pay your children's church people this much money, so that you can say that You see, like, what is, but does those children going to heaven? Are they being taught Jesus? Are they being taught Jesus on the passion of the Word of God, or for the passion of a paycheck? So see, this gets really interesting, because, you know, I wonder what Jesus, anybody just think about this. What if Jesus, okay, so we know that he probes all, and he's watching us all. Think about this just for a hot second. What does Jesus think about you? What does Jesus think about you? And see, and here's the thing. You don't get to run your best you that you run to me. You're talking about the person, the knower of all things. What does Jesus think about you? What does Jesus think about this church? How does he think about how does he feel about how we operate this church and operate inside this church? See, this is critical, because, you know, when we begin to think about these things, it should bring everything to a screeching halt, and then we'd be like, yo, we need to deal with this. If the condition of the church is the condition of your heart, what condition is the church in? Let me ask you that. If the condition of the church is the condition of your heart, your righteousness, real talk, then what condition is the church in? And this is why the discipleship class yesterday was on what it was on, because we got a church full of people who think they saved. But if we sat down with everybody and went through this Bible, you'd be surprised at how many would say, I might need to do that over. I might need to do this again. I'm sorry for the water sound. It's me taking the water. It's me not taking the water and y'all don't hear the sound. Or me not taking the water. You know, me not taking the water, y'all don't hear the sound, and I pass out, or I take the water and we'd be okay. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. He says, look, I done put the work in. Isn't it amazing how much God has done and we still choose the world? Isn't that amazing? How much God has done in your personal life and all times our decision making. When do we get to the point where we stop struggling with just doing the right thing? When do we get to that point? When do we have so much word in us that there's just absolutely, I say this to you guys before and you think I'd be playing, I'm telling you, the greatest time of my Christianity was in prison. And it wasn't because, you know, wasn't no weed there. There was weed there. It wasn't because there wasn't no women there. There was women there. Real women, too. There was real women there. It wasn't because people have been in prison or somebody knows something about that, they know what I'm talking about. But there was real women there. There was alcohol in prison. There's alcohol. Y'all crazy if y'all think we can't get drunk in prison. Yes, you can. Anything in prison you can do, I can do. But what happened was, I didn't have people to tend to on a daily basis. So me and that word stayed. And watch this. And so I would call home, and people stopped accepting my calls because what they're asking me about, I'm telling them biblically why they shouldn't do that. You see what I'm saying to you? Like, when people ask your opinion about something, do you give them your wisdom or do you give them the word? You see what I'm saying? And my life was just better locked up, to be honest with you, because, I didn't have, I had the temptations, but I had a better discipline. And these things, that shouldn't be so. That shouldn't be the call. You know, that shouldn't be the verdict. So it goes on to say, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. I'm listening to people nowadays that literally hate Jesus. People have been born in Christian homes. I'm talking to young people now that do not believe God. Or they'll say something like, I believe as a God, I just don't trust him. Isn't this amazing? Why? Because they believe that everything that they are dealing with around them, and everything that they had to fight through as a child and a teenager, they believe, they feel like this, well, if God was God, then why? Because we've learned, because we have learned how to put the blame on God instead of taking responsibility for how we live. You see what I'm saying? And then he goes on and he says, but when the Spirit, the Helper, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. We should be able to bear witness to everything the Word of God says. If you've been saved for 3 months, you ought to be 6 months. Let's give it 6 months. If you've been saved for 6 months, you ought to be able to bear witness to everything that the Father says in the Word, that Jesus says in the Word. You ought to be able to bear witness to that. You see? A lot, you know, sometimes I used to do stupid stuff, didn't I? Like I would have conversations with people and say stuff like, you know, the Bible says, and they'd be one-on-one with them, they'd be like, I know, and you know what? And then this is how bad people get. People will add other stuff to it. And I'm like, I'm lying. It's not in the Bible. I'm tricking you. And they done add, they just think that we, and they just add to it a lie. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, you know what the whole problem with this whole conversation is? Like, what? And then I said in the Bible. Yeah, it is. Because I was in the Bible the other night. So you told me, said, I was in the Bible the other night. And I saw. I said, well, show it to me. Show it to me. Don't you know that, this is sad. Every time somebody gets into some type of conversation or you're trying to witness to somebody or something like that, the fact that you have to stop, text, or call me and say, hey, and that, so I'm sitting here with somebody and I'm trying to tell them, well, you shouldn't be trying to tell them. You should be able to tell them. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Why would you go and try to talk about something you don't know about? That's an issue within itself. So who are you trying to look good in front of? Who are you trying to impress? So why would you go and try to witness a word that you don't know? Now here's a better question. Why don't you know the word that you should be witnessing? Let me ask you a question in here. How many in here watch TV? How many in here watch? Keep your hands up. Don't be trying to do that quick up and down because you know I'm going to make a point. How many watch TV in here? Now, how many watch TV more than they read the Bible? Yeah. Let me ask you again. How many watch TV? Now, God watches you everywhere. Now, how many watch TV more than they read the Bible? Up. Tell them that's why they should be here. I need a vacation, man. You hear me? So, help me, Lord. So we've dealt with the majority of this chapter, and Jesus says something in the first verse of this chapter that he is the true vine. Was it down? That he is the true vine. It's in John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine. That is the last of the seven I am declarations of Jesus recorded only in John's gospel. These I am proclamations point to his unique and divine identity and purpose. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, to the closest friends gathered around him. It is only a short time. This is only a short time before Judas would betray him. In fact, Judas has already left to do this infamous deed of betraying him. And Jesus was preparing the 11 men left for his pending crucifixion, his resurrection, and his subsequent departure for heaven. He had just told them that he would be leaving them. And in John 14:2, we find it. If you look at the book of John, chapter 14, we find why he's leaving. And he says, let not your your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he tells him why he's leaving. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Knowing how disturbed they would feel, he gave them this lovely, this real awesome metaphor of a true vine as one of his encouragements. Jesus wanted them to know that not only those 11, but those of all time, to know that he was not going to desert them. Even though they would no longer enjoy Jesus in the physical presence, his energy, his live energy, his spiritual reality, they would continue to nourish and sustain, his reality would continue to nourish and sustain them as like roots of a trunk or like a grapevine that produces energy and nourishes and sustains its branches while they develop their fruit. Jesus wanted them to know that even though we cannot see him, we are closely connected to him as the branches of the vine are connected to its stem. And our desire to know and love him and the energy to serve him will keep flowing into and through as long as they abide in him. Here is the issue. Folk come down and say they got saved or whatever. Isn't it sad that I have to use that type of verbiage? They say it. Because you say, well, why do you say they say it? Because since the pandemic, when I look at our conversions, Christian conversions, 99% of them haven't lasted. Have not lasted. And I just think that we need to stop. So I don't do this anymore. I don't call every man of God no more. There's a difference. I don't call every woman of God no more. There's a difference. And not too long ago, somebody, I said, it's good talking to you, man. I texted that. And they said, what happened to the man of God? I said, you tell me. You tell me. You see. So I said that to say that you come down and you give your life to Jesus and all of that, but you have to stay connected to him. You don't just get to say, I'm saved. It's like when you're on a diet and you're trying to get exercise, you're trying to get better. So you go buy all the workout clothes, you know what I'm saying? You buy the shoes, you get your favorite music on, you do all the stuff like workout people do, and then you go to the gym for 3 days, and you get your numbers up, you know, everything, you're doing well on your Fitbit and your Apple Watch competitions, and all of that, and then, you stop. But then, has anybody ever tried to do this? Has anybody tried to get in shape and be serious about their body, and they're going to get it together and have it the way they want it to be, and then you stop, right? And in 2 weeks, you ain't been in the gym in 2 weeks, but in your mind, you are still working out. You are eating horribly. You ride past the gym, ain't thought about it. They taking your money. You ain't giving them nothing. But in your head, shoot, you in shape. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that crazy? So people are trying to figure out why they're so weak. You understand what I'm saying to you? But here is a plug. Here is a connection. And the reason why the church is weak is because nothing is connected to it. If this plug represented our Savior, nothing is connected to it. You understand what I'm saying? And so you walk around, and you got your charger out, and the you know what's so sad? Oh, Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost. How many of you guys at the crib are you know, being caught, and the charger be right there? How many of you done that? The charger be right there, and you mess around and lose and lose power. I am amazed when people have a charger. I said, but your charger's right there. I know, I just forgot to put. This is how we walk around in Christendom. We walk around, the charger is it's close. You're close enough to the connection, but you don't connect yourself to the connection, thus you lose power. You see? How many of you are just willing to admit, man, my charger has been next to the socket a many a time, but I looked at my phone and it says 64%, and I thought, I'm good. I'll charge it in the morning when I wake up. It's right here. 72%, I'm good. I've got 72% of it charged, I'm good. I'll charge it in the morning. Then you jump in the car, you've got the little bootleg charger in your car, and watch this. This, oh God, thank you, Holy Ghost. And this is why you just can't be having everybody around you. This is why you can't have everybody around you, because some of you got bootleg friends that call themselves saved too, and they ain't got the power to give you a charge. Lord, have mercy. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I got one of these chargers, and I thought, man, I came up $6. This blow-along charger, I'm looking for it. And I put the phone on, it's got 32%, and I go back down in 2 hours, and guess what? It's got 49%. So I might not be losing power, but I'm wasting time. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. I might not be losing power, but I'm wasting time. But I go get the right charger, Lord have mercy. And watch this, and you don't want to go get the right charger, because the Apple charger costs you $40. You don't want to go get the right charge, because the right charge calls you out, and it calls for some things, and it charges you some things. But once you get connected to it, you try to be, you come to what did it take so long for me to connect to the real thing? You see. And for the most part, our church, we come get close to the charger. Well, we don't plug in. We don't plug in. Now I want to put this point out here. And I really want you to think about it. A lot of people are claiming to live in Jesus are living without his live, living energy. And we get his energy. Where do we get his energy from? Prayer. We get his energy from the Word. And then we get his energy from a commitment to stay in prayer and the Word. We get his energy when we do things that he tells us not to do. So when he says, come out from what ain't clean, from amongst what ain't clean. And when we come out from it, guess what? You ever get them charges and you put it on your phone and it says, this does not support, oh Lord, this does not support, this charger does not support this device. And if you read in the instructions, it tells you that if you put these bootleg chargers in your phone long enough, you can eventually mess up your phone. We've got to do away with this bootleg religion. We've got to do away with this bootleg Christianity. We've got to do away with these bootleg people in our lives that serve no purpose. See, here's the reality. This is why I love, you know, Brother Allen. We've been doing this for lately. He shoots scriptures every day. I got a ton of things going on, and I almost texted him and said, look, bro, I ain't got time to be reading scriptures, but the Holy Ghost said you better not. Anybody else send me scriptures? It's going to help you. Go read it. And I went and read it, and guess what? And it helped me. And I was like, okay. And right then the Lord showed me and said, this is a relationship. And you need to shoot them to him because he needs them too. You see what I'm saying? And we need to shoot one another. You know, I was thinking about you. Don't think about me. Send me a scripture. Don't check on me, because if you check on me, I mean, it's cool to, you know, call me up and say, how you doing? But the reality is I could probably get more out of the word that God told you to send me. We need to be in the position of God. We need to be so plugged into the plug that we, you know. Let me text Caitlin real quick. The Spirit is telling me that she needs this verse right here. You ever send somebody a scripture and they hit you right back and say, thank you so much. You don't know how bad I needed that. But Do you notice that when you're not plugged in, when you're not truly connected, that you don't even have the zeal to text them? And here's what'll happen. There'll be hints. There'll be forms of godliness. Like another, oh God, help me, Jesus. There'll be forms of godliness where you'll sit back and say, such and such across your mind. They ain't got no reason to be across your mind, but they just cross your mind. And you don't think you just, let me pray this prayer to you. Let me, because you know what? You don't got the full connection. The plug is sticking out. The plug is sticking. It ain't all the way in, so you ain't all the way powered up, so you don't all the way get the revelation. Now, when people say, I can tell you, thank you so much. You don't know how much I need that scripture. Don't you think they probably needed some more? But they caught you in a godlike moment. They caught you in a godlike moment. This ain't who we are all the time. Because if this is who we was all the time, he could trust us with some instruction all the time. I remember one day I sat back and I said, and I'm almost done. I'm gonna get you out here at 8 o'clock, believe it or not. And I said, somebody was saying, such and such called me, and they prayed for me, and they knew I needed that. And I was thinking, how did you know I needed that? And such and such said in the scripture, I felt this big. Because I'm thinking, such and such ran across my mind. And I didn't do my job. You see what I'm saying? You ever hear somebody say, such and such did this, and you know that person had crossed your mind, and you didn't do anything. And instead of saying, I go, amen, because we're so numb to what we're supposed to be doing, we're so far away from what we're supposed to be doing, you don't even hit you for real. You don't even think about it. You're just glad that somebody prayed for them since they was going through it. Or you say something like, you always going through it. That's how we justify things. You always going through it. All right. So I'm going to give you these verses real quick. We got 5 minutes. But because we are not tapped into the source, they are continuing to come up. Because people aren't tapped into the source, they are continuing to come up short when it comes to life in God. There are disciplines that can't and will not be kept because folk are refusing a connection to God. Philippians 4 and 6, real quickly. We're going to run through these. I'll get them done in 4 minutes. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, the beginning of this is called, we can do nothing without it. So the reason that many of us get all pressed out and all bent out of shape and all stretched out of shape is because you're not with him. So watch this. One of the things that you are promised to be able to do is walk through the fire with a smile on your face and a praise in your spirit because you are connected to him. But if you are not connected, I'm not fooling with you, but if you are not connected to him, you can't do that. And that's why there's always so much discombobulation in your life. Don't run around and tell me how saved you are, but you're always going through it. Don't run around and tell me how saved you are, but you always moping around. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because that ain't showing no God at all. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about nothing. But in everything, every issue that you are going through, you need to be in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, whatever you're going through, you ought to be praising God in the prayer because you know that who you're talking to will not leave you dead on the side of the road. So hold on, what you mean? I'm struggling with this, that, and the other, and you're supposed to go in there thanking God that you are available. You've made your greatness available to me. Even in the midst of my trials, I'm going to thank you in prayer. Because I read that if I ask, whatever I ask in Jesus' name, and if I don't ask amiss, I have a right to feel good about how this is going to turn out. Even if it don't turn out the way that I constructed it in my head. Give me the next one. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. You can't do nothing without God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can do nothing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're trying to figure out why we keep coming up short, but we keep distancing ourselves from the connection. It's going to always overwhelm you. It's always going to blow your mind. It's going to always throw you off. It's going to always have you hostage. It's going to always have you in spiritual handcuffs. It's going to always have you second guessing your call, if you are not connected to the one that has promised to see you through. That's why you can, and here's the problem with humanism, is that we get into situations and we call one another. Well, they busted up too. We get into situations and we go call such a, well, they messed up too. And we call on people that don't believe the way we need them to believe, so what are you expecting to get out of that? And that's why y'all, you talk about the situation for a moment, then it's over with, and then 10 minutes after you're off the call, you don't feel strong no more. You don't feel capable anymore. Because you've connected your charger to a human instead of him. James 4 and 8, I'm going to rush over there. I got 1 minute. 1 minute. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Get that? Not because you're going through it. Draw near to someone who went through what you went through. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Draw near to him and he draws near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come into this thing, you know, and come into this thing right. Huh? Come into it right. Come into it right. Cleanse your hands. Come on. Learn the difference between consequence and test. Because when you learn the difference between consequence and just, you know, test or just life happening, then you'll learn you probably need to go cleanse your hands. Then you realize, you know what? This ain't the enemy. This is me. And Satan ain't done nothing to me. I did this. And so what they tell me, so the reality is, I'm back here. You know how when they start the horses out and everybody's ready to break through and the horses all go out? Some of us will never leave the stable because we're still dealing with the flesh. You ain't in no battle with Satan. You ain't done nothing to be, but Satan will be even concerned about you. But we